Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Sam and Sam Takeover here on Will Sam and Sam in the Morning. I'm Sam Anthony. Alongside me is Samuel Elizabeth Ferentz.
Hello.
And we don't know where Will is. Will's maybe coming, but you know we've locked him out of the radio room right now. We're going to see if he can get back in. He is going to be mad, ladies and gentlemen. Sam, I'm guessing he's probably going to like yell at us as soon as we come in.
Yeah, this is what we do on the show, though.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a good lesson to Will. Punctuality is very important.
I just want all the listeners to know I'm the only one out of the three of us that has never been late to the show.
That's true. You've been close, but you've always been on time.
Very close.
Very close. We're talking like right under the wire. But yeah, and you know, it's ironic because he could have done this to me last week when I showed up late, but he didn't. So am I a jerk? A little bit. It's all right. You know,
there's a reason we've all been friends for 3 years, right?
It's true. And one of the reasons is we really like to pick on Will.
Yeah, and he's really easy to pick on.
He gets butthurt real quick. So you're going to get to see Will get a little butthurt. But it's fine. You know, the Eagles won a Super Bowl, so I think he'll get over it.
Yeah.
That always seems to be the fallback. So, I mean, yeah. You have a good weekend, Sam.
I did have a good weekend. And I heard RMU had a good weekend this weekend, too. You know, the lacrosse, they won.
They're ranked 14th now.
I mean, men's hockey, they didn't win, but they had a nice little upset whenever Mercer.
I know. Oh, look who it is.
Oh, he finally showed
it's
up.
It's Will Camilleri.
Oh, boy.
We're so glad you're here. We missed you. You know, I was thinking of you the whole time.
I did text you telling you I was coming.
Yeah, I know. That's when we decided to start the show. Okay. It's all right. You know, we've talked about, like, one thing. Men's lacrosse, they're really good.
They're ranked 14th now.
Yeah,
it's pretty hype.
Pretty soon, Will won't be on the college hockey pools. He'll be on the men's lacrosse.
I think we're already moved on to that since women's hockey's done.
Yeah.
I mean, he can check every week, but they won't move.
I don't think Army's ranked anymore either.
In women's?
No.
They are.
They are?
Yeah.
Oh. I saw they got votes. I didn't say if they were.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they ended at like 10 or something.
Yeah, I think they ended at 10. But, I mean, you know, considering Mercer's almost beat Clarkson. Anyone see that?
Yeah.
The women's NCAA tournament.
And then Ohio State beat Clarkson.
Yeah.
So.
And we beat Ohio State. Did you also know, fun fact, we beat Kentucky 5 years ago yesterday.
Yeah, 5 years ago yesterday.
Can we just talk about how insignificant that win looks compared to UMBC's win?
Oh, my God.
And did you see that we, like, sent a Facebook message or Facebook post and tagged UMBC in it? We were like, we know how that feels, UMBC. Like, it's a victory that will be celebrated for years to come. And I was like, no. Their victory can be celebrated until another 16 seed wins, which is probably forever.
Do we also want to talk about how the leading scorer on UMBC was...
Used to go to RMU?
Yeah, used to go to RMU.
Wait,
Jarius
what?
Jarius Lyles.
Didn't play under Andy Toole and then transferred to UMBC.
Yep.
In the 2014 season.
He put up 28 points against Virginia. Does that hurt a little bit? And then, you know, meanwhile, you got Clemson, 5-seeded Clemson in the Sweet 16 with Marquise Reed.
Yeah.
You have Iona in the NCAA tournament with Isaiah Still, who didn't play this year, but again, he's still on Iona.
Michigan State, you know.
Oh, technically, Braden Burke is in there, even though Braden Burke will never see minutes.
Worst player in RMU history.
I'd argue the worst player in RMU history is like Jordan Lester, one of those little guys that didn't like transfer down.
Yeah.
White guy number two.
Can we say that on the radio?
I don't know.
No.
That's
no,
fine.
No.
It's fine. Nobody listens anyway. No. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm not excited about RMU versus Kentucky anymore. I'm a little sick of it. And the fact that they're having a hard time selling those 150 like frames is a little sad.
Hey, I just I I put my nice little, you know, email down to get some sort of commemorative plate from, you know, the Soul Center, and I haven't gotten an email yet. RMU, where are you at?
Yeah, I know. I do like those shirts, though, that say Never Forget the Chuck. Mm-hmm. I would get one of those shirts. Those shirts are fire. But I don't know if I'd pay $30 for it.
$30?
It's the score of the half. It's the halftime score, 28-27.
Oh, that's right. We discussed this before.
Yeah.
And isn't there something that's the full score where it's 57-55 or something like
59,
that?
59-57.
Oh.
Yep. That's the, what is it? I think it's just the wood in the t-shirt, but not the plaque. Yeah. At 100, you get the plaque, which, like, I don't know. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I feel like, yes, it was this big thing that happened, but, like, nobody that's here now
cares.
Was here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can understand, like, hyping it if it was, like, last year.
Yeah.
Like, even though it's not the five-year anniversary, like, hype. Be like, hey, seniors, like, remember when you were freshmen and this happened? And then have all of that then. Which, like, and at the same time, like, you know, Sewell was still standing and whatever, all that. They hadn't torn it down.
Yeah, so you couldn't
yet,
get, like, the pieces of Sewell.
But still, like, I don't know. I feel like there's not as much significance just because, like, none of us were there for it. I'm sure, like, if we were there, we would never stop talking about it. I mean, in the circumstances, like, it was Kentucky had, what, won the NCAA tournament the year before, I believe.
I have no clue.
I think that because everything.
I think so, because it was, like, a really bad
defending,
year.
Yeah.
But they were so bad that year. I mean,
but it's still
so
Kentucky.
Bad.
But it's still Kentucky.
It doesn't matter. Like, that's such does. A, that's such a terrible. But they were a bad Kentucky team. I mean, Kentucky's usually a team that's full of, like, you know, future NBA stars, and they had not had a single one on that team.
I think Willie Cauley-Stein was on that one, wasn't
it? Yeah, but I wouldn't call him a future NBA star. I'd call him a future NBA flop.
He was drafted, though. At the time, I mean, he was still a...
I mean...
I'm on your point. I'm sorry, Will.
Like, you know, because, like, look at that Virginia team, you know? And then that's the juxtaposition here, is that Virginia team had one loss. They were the best team in the nation. They were ranked the best team in the nation. Their RPI was highest. They had the best defense. They had lost just one time, and they had just won the ACC tournament. They beat the likes of UNC. They were better than Duke. They were better than so many teams in the ACC, the best conference in college basketball. And don't tell me there's another college conference that's better this year, because so many teams in the ACC were phenomenal. And Virginia,
like the University of Pittsburgh,
beat them all, except for the University of Pittsburgh. They are terrible.
They should have lost two games.
They should have. That Louisville game, they should have lost.
Game, that was one of the craziest games I've ever seen.
But, still, they had an incredible season in an extremely tough conference. And then they lost by 20. It was
the first time all season they let up more than 70 points.
Exactly. To UMBC, who got 43 against Kansas State the next night. And you see former RMU star, who actually never played, but former RMU player, Jerry Siles put up 28 points. I promise you it's one of the highest totals anyone has put up by themselves against Virginia this year, if not the highest.
Well, I mean, against any team.
Everything about that game screamed upset. I mean, it was shocking in every way. I mean, that game was over with 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
It was so far apart.
Well, there have been this tournament is the tournament of upsets, and... Because, I mean, I think one of the regions, whatever region...
There's not a 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah, yeah. It's
5, 9, 11, and I don't know the other one, but...
I think 6.
Yeah, 6.
I think it's the Midwest region?
Yeah,
because that was where Cincinnati was.
Yep. Oh, it's 7 then, because Nevada's 7.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
By the way, I picked Nevada. My bracket jumped from the 45th percentile to the 96th after that win.
I don't look at my bracket anymore. It's just,
oh, no.
I had Virginia winning.
I mean, all
and
of my...
And UNC.
I have Villanova winning in 2 of them, and I have Purdue winning in 1 of them.
Oh, so you're still going strong.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But, I don't know. I'm really sick of hearing about Army versus Kentucky.
I mean, I agree.
And the viewing party last night was just a little sad. Like... Think about it. Your team could, like, RMU could be in the NCAA tournament, but instead, you know, we have Andy Tool at the All-Star Sports Bar in Robinson reliving a game from 5 years ago. You think there's any chance that he, before his contract's up, makes the decision to leave? Like, try something new? Because it just seems like Andy Tool and RMU, I mean, I know he signed that extension last year, but it just seems like there's been, you know, this drop-off in terms of, like, expectations. How many years left? He has it until 2022.
Okay, so I think if they – I'd give it 2 years. I think if they turn it around either next year or the year after, he's here for a while.
Yeah.
But if it's like 2020, 2021, something like that, and they're still doing this where they're okay, pretty good for the beginning of the season, and then by the time, you know, it counts, they're – in seventh place, like
he's almost like a Marvin Lewis of the NFL, because you know he did good way at the beginning of his career, and or even like a John Harbaugh, and he's just tapering out.
If I were one of the other, I mean, head coaches in any sport, but particularly, I would think men's and women's hockey because they have the greatest chance. My message, because that got hyped, this viewing thing got hyped more than I'd say either one of their playoff pushes. And men's hockey had a great
run, and they were really close until that last game.
Yeah.
So
the fact that a game from 5 years ago, a basketball game, got more hype from 5 years ago than their current possibility of entering the NCAA tournament. If I'm one of their head coaches, I'm saying make that game look insignificant and go out and win a national championship.
Yeah.
Because honestly, with the way hockey is, either of these teams could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the only reason why I was so hyped was because they released the Sewell Center stuff.
But still, like it's, I mean, comparatively, like this has been the game, game showing commentary thing has been getting hyped up for weeks now. I mean, we talked about it, 3 weeks ago, I think, is when we were the last time we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, men's hockey went on and has won some pretty, like, incredible games, upsetting almost everybody. And it seemed like that, like, nobody knows.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like, and it's a team like, you know, you're talking about men's hockey, you know, nobody was really talking about that. And men's, I mean, that's not an insignificant team by any means. And it's a team that was one win away from the NCAA tournament. And, you know, you win one game in the NCAA tournament, you're in the Elite Eight, you win another one, you're in the Frozen Four. You know, all of a sudden, you know, RMU's in this conversation. And I don't really understand that because, you know, they've been to the championship each of the last 3 years. I know they haven't won, but they've been there and they've been competing. And I don't know how there's not more of a conversation involving that.
I mean, you can make the argument that RMU men's hockey is the best men's sport at Robert Morris.
Yeah.
No.
I would say women's hockey or women's basketball.
No, I'm just saying out of men's sports.
Oh, out of men's? Yeah, I would agree.
Them or right now arguably men's lacrosse.
Yeah.
Just because they're ranked 14th in the
But
nation.
It's hard because, you know, men's lacrosse, their success is so recent and it can go away so quickly.
That's true.
So that, I think, in terms of sustained success, it's got to be men's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they've only gone to one tourney, but in terms of recently, like, they're a team that's been in contention every year, whereas, you know, I know men's basketball's made the semis the last 2 years, but a lot of it was out of, like, they had an upset.
The skin
you know?
Of their teeth. Yeah.
Nobody was expecting.
No. I mean, how many times have they been the 7 or the 8 seed in while we've been here? I think it's been every single year.
Every time. They were an 8 the first year and the 7 in the last 2 years. So think about that. You know, they're barely making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And this is a team that's supposed to be, you know, the pride and joy of Robert Morris.
Right.
And the team that everyone, you know, expects to be, you know, the best.
The team that's getting a brand new arena that has more seating.
Which I'm still kind of hype about. but
I mean, yeah, it's gonna be incredible. But I feel like they're, I don't know. I feel like they need to prove that they deserve it.
I mean, you know, that's fair. But all right, so now that we've talked about that a little bit, I think we're all in agreement, correct? You want to, let's talk about men's lacrosse. I really do want to break that down because they've been impressive, like very, very, very impressive. You know, it starts with those big wins over ranked opponents. The most notable one to me was beating Marquette 12-2. I mean, they dominated Marquette. And then, you know, they started off a little iffy against Sacred Heart. They only put up 3 goals in the first half. And then they get into the second half and they just explode. And, I mean, it was phenomenal. It was everything you expected it to be. that's pretty exciting to me. The question is, you know, can they keep it up? Because if they keep it up, they're going to see themselves as a top 10 team going into the NEC tournament, which is unprecedented for an NEC team. And it also gives a lot of hope that they'll finally go to the NCAA tournament for the first time in program history. You got a lot of seniors on that team, a lot of guys that have been there a long time, fallen short. I mean, they haven't won an NCAA or an NEC tournament game since 2013. So, do you guys believe in men's lacrosse right now, or is it still wait and see because it's so early?
I don't know. Because, like, looking at it, we're 14 in the Maverick Media Poll, which is week 6. Then there's the USILA, which I'm kind of associating with the USCHO poll that we look at every week. And in that poll, we're ranked 20.
Okay.
Which is still national ranked and still...
On NCAA.com, we're ranked 14th.
Okay. All right. So maybe this one doesn't... Maybe this one's kind of like the USA Today poll. But
yeah, I mean, I still think it's too early to tell because, I mean, we haven't... I mean, anything could happen in pre-conference play. The only thing that matters, we keep saying, is conference play. And we only played one game in the conference, and we had to come
from
the conference.
That's...
And we're only 7 games in. I think, you know, maybe 3 or 4 games down the road, we can start talking about whether we believe in them or not. But I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think that they have enough groundwork laid to make a complete name for themselves.
And personally, I think that's really fair. I think that, you know, it's easy to just jump on a bandwagon when you see, you know, numbers in front of the name in college sports. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're going to end with the same result, which is, you know, not winning the conference tournament, then what does it matter?
Right.
You know? Because unfortunately, you know, for lack of a better comparison, women's hockey, you know, you got to win that last game or nobody cares.
Mm-mm.
You know, nobody's going around talking about women's hockey anymore. And it's, you know, it's sad because they've had a historic 2-year run and, you know, 2 years.
And one of arguably the best player to ever play for this team.
Yeah, Brittany Howard. I mean, she's phenomenal. You know, you have one of the greatest hockey eras ever between her and Brady Ferguson on the men's side. And, you know, neither of those players ended their career with a tournament berth.
And I don't know anything. I don't want to say I don't know anything. I don't know enough about lacrosse to even begin to think, you know. For me, I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's not going to come until, you know, the last game, the conference tournament. When I can see that we actually have somewhat of a shot, you know?
Yeah. So I will say, offensively, this team is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Perkins is a monster.
They lead the NEC with, I think it says 19.43 team points per game.
Yeah. I mean, they look good. You know, you have to think Marquette allows 7 points per game, and RMU had 7 in the first half. Their offense is great. And the reason is they have a lot of guys who can score. You got Jimmy Perkins, you got Matt Schmidt, you have Ryan Smith, you have Adrian Torek Orban. You have all these guys. I mean, they had in their 12 goals against Sacred Heart, I think they had like 6 or 7 different guys score. You know, you're seeing where no one person's going to dictate this game. And I think that's a really big deal. Yeah, RMU had, let's see here. Yeah, they had matchmen with four, but then they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different players score. 9. You know, I mean, just great, great ball movement. You don't know who the scoring is going to come from. And when you can have scoring come from all those different places, you know, you don't need to rely on one guy. And that's the sign of a really good team, you know. And again, you talk about hockey. What makes a playoff team in hockey is having four strong lines. You know, you can have a great top line, but you need those strong bottom three lines to be a championship team. And that's kind of what they're doing right now. Jimmy Perkins at one point was top 10 in the nation in scoring, and he's still up there. He's not in the top 10, but, I mean, the guy's 5'8", 170 pounds. He's not a big guy by any means, but he's fast and he can score. And he didn't play in 2015 or 2016. Mm. And all of a sudden, you know, 2017, he kind of shows up. But this year he's been, you know, unreal. I mean, he only played 16 games last year. He had 7 goals and 11 assists for 18 points. He has played 7 games this year, and he has 11 goals and 17 assists for 28 points. He already has 10 more points than he did all of last season.
I mean, at this point, you look at the other teams in this poll, and it's like teams that you associate with lacrosse. Like, you have Maryland at number 2, Johns Hopkins, who is the number 1 team in the country for years and had almost like a dynasty in men's lacrosse, to the point where a kid that I went to high school with committed there in 8th grade.
Yep.
You have Virginia, who, you know, Lehigh. These are teams that are competitive in the NCAA tournament every year. They're teams that you associate with playing good lacrosse, and now you have Robert Morris in that conversation. And it's not like, you know, we look at men's and women's hockey, and they're kind of like, they're a solid bubble team when it comes to the rankings. Like, they hover around with women's hockey 9, 10. I think the highest they've gone is, what, 8 or 7, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
Men's, you know, will receive votes or be 20, 19. Like, I think a few years ago they were 13, and that's the highest they've been. But, like, this is, they're getting into the nitty-gritty, kind of like a solid amount of points in this poll. You know, they go up, they're at 158. They get 100 more points, and they're in 12th.
Mm-hmm.
They're ranked 12th in the country, which is crazy to think. I mean, again, I think any time a school our size gets ranked for anything is pretty crazy, considering how many other schools have this sport and, you know, how many other bigger schools. Like, who, think of all the places that have could pull more talent and more opportunity almost, and then you have us kind of fighting for our spot there.
Any school in Maryland that really cares about lacrosse?
Or Eastern Pennsylvania or the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, there are a lot of teams, too, in lacrosse, and it's going to be hard to, I mean, let's wait until after March 30th. And I think after March 30th, then we can start talking about, because Bryant's the really good one, right? Or is that Wagner?
Bryant.
They play Bryant in Moon Township on March 30th. So what's the qualification criteria for the NCAA tournament?
Is it probably for the NEC, it's a win.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's what it's going to be. I think there are a few bigger conferences that might have a what's called spot. I can't remember the name.
But so, yeah. No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, well, like, it's pretty much like every other sport in the NEC, is you have to win the tournament to make it to the NCAA tournament.
It's not too bad.
Mm-mm.
Considering that conference isn't as big, I mean.
Yeah, there's what, I think 10? Or no, not even 10.
It's 8.
8.
Yeah, so.
7.
Yeah, so like.
Going down even farther.
Yeah.
You should realistically, like, have a good chance to go. I mean, it's like women's hockey. That's why they have a chance every year, is because there's only 6 teams in that conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you win 3 games and you're in. 2 games and you're in. It's just, Yeah.
And it's interesting. So Atlantic Hockey this year, their big thing was that they've been around for 15 years, which in that, I don't know how old the other conferences are, but in that amount of time, I feel like their success has increased exponentially. Because how many times have you had teams make it to the NCAA tournament? They had, I believe, one Frozen Four appearance. I don't know who it was, but that's what it said in the montage in Rochester.
Oh, yeah, I remember the montage.
There was there's a team in the Frozen Four. They have a few Elite Eight teams. And for a small conference that gets, in my opinion, the least amount of respect in any in college hockey, that's, I mean, pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say
for the powerhouse teams that are there and the programs that have a ton of history and success and all that, to have this little conference that's been around for 15 less than we've been alive, come in and kind of have that, I think is good. And I do think having the tournament be as competitive as it has been and have the conference be have as much parity as it has is good, because it shows that the teams in it are getting better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
A little positive spin here on our sad Tuesday, yeah, where we have no more playoff sports.
Yeah, I know. We're running out of Robert Morris Athletics to talk about. We have men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse, and softball that's mm-hmm. left. Isn't it a weird time of year? Because it just feels like sports kind of consume a lot of what Robert Morris operates in until, you know.
Which is, it's weird because, like, there are still three sports that compete. Like, they're not like, it's not like every year these three teams go, you know, 0 and whatever and never win and are completely terrible.
Yeah,
and
softball always wins
them.
Conference championships. They're always in contention
yeah.
for it. You know, men's
obviously
lacrosse has been great recently.
Right, obviously they're ranked number 14 in the country. Women's lacrosse won, had their first home win.
Yeah, and they were really good last year. They were phenomenal last year. This year there's been kind of a shakeup in coaching and all that stuff, so it's been a little bit of a bumpy start. But they play Louisville this weekend at home here at Moon Township. So if you're bored on a Sunday or Saturday. No, it's a Saturday.
Ooh.
If you're bored Saturday, 1 p.m. But, hey, on the plus side, you know, if anyone's free on Saturday, we have our women's basketball documentary airing in Hopwood Hall.
All right, 7 p.m.
That's right. Got to be there. You know, Sam, we talk about your girl, Megan Smith.
All right, I'll be there.
You will? All right. I mean, there's going to be free food, popcorn, candy.
Ooh.
Will can't come. He's on
I
duty.
Can. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I have a job.
You know, just that never supports me in any way. I know.
I always
Sam
support
supports
you.
Me. I know. That's why we're Sam and Sam in the morning now.
Yeah, thanks.
We changed the name when you were gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're just a guest on the show.
Thanks. Yeah.
But it'll be really cool for anyone that cares. We sat down with all the international athletes, and it was interesting just because of the fact that they have players from Finland, Japan, Spain, you know, Canada. Am I forgetting?
We've had players from Greece.
We've had players from 11 different countries,
wow,
including Latvia and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. It's just wild because when you ask Coach B about it, it's never been, you know, we're doing this because it's better. We're doing this because it's international. We're specifically going international. They're literally just doing everything and anything they can to find the people that want to buy into what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of talking about success, I think that's one of the most important things is they don't see, you know, country where someone's from. All it is you
a
know,
player.
Do you love basketball? Are you willing to buy into the way we operate? Are you willing to buy into, you know, Coach B's pillars? That it's more than just about basketball. It's about, you know, teaching people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's it's a cool concept.
Yeah, I feel like that's a mantra of RMU sports. Like, kind of, it doesn't matter who you are, what you come from, like, anything. Like,
yeah,
as long as you can play and, like, are good, I mean, in our standards, and are a good person, I feel like they...
I feel like there's some sports that can definitely learn from it.
Yes.
Such as Kof-Kof men's basketball.
I agree. Well, I mean, I think you can look back at when the football program started in the 90s.
That's how they were built.
Yeah, because they were a non-scholarship team. So
they took a bunch of kids and they were like, look, we believe you're good enough and we know you want to work. And if you can go prove them all wrong.
Right, exactly. And then they went out and won 5 straight NEC titles.
Yeah. That'd be a fun thing to talk about. Do a piece on the old RMU football team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, RMC. You think Joe Walton would sit down with me?
Maybe he might with you. Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I'd wear my Eagles jersey to that. Yeah.
That'd be another cool one.
Hank Fraley is now the offensive line coach with the Colts, I believe. Frank Reich stole him from Chip Kelly.
That brings you a little bit.
Yeah, it made me honestly it made me a little happier inside. Chip Kelly lost a piece that he wanted.
Oh, Chip. But yeah.
Go Birds.
Go see this documentary. Yeah. It'll be really cool.
I feel like this happens a lot with college sports. The difference in games between everybody, like games played.
Oh, like, yeah, I know, no, it happens everywhere.
Yeah, except for, like, I think men's basketball is pretty, they all pretty much say this, play the same amount of games.
And that's because that's so important in terms of resume for brackets. And,
yeah, you all have to play the same amount. But, like, Albany, who's undefeated, has played 6 games. They're number one. Duke is third, and they've played 3 more games. They're 8-1. And you have teams that are relatively right now, it's between 6 and 7 games is what it's looking at. But you have teams that have played 8, 9, 10 games.
Yeah,
I just hate that difference in games played, because I feel like, especially with professional sports, everybody plays the same amount of games.
Yeah. I mean, check towards the end, because I don't know if like it'll come back together and there'll be some parity. Because I mean, I know that's how like women's basketball is, because we have that one weekend where we just play St. Francis, and so that kind of throws off the
Well, I mean, the biggest thing I think of is women's hockey, where Wisconsin has played 36 games or something like that, and everyone else is at, like, 28.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, like, a huge difference. Or you have teams that, like, while Wisconsin was, like, 10-0, you have, I think it was, like, Cornell, who was 3-3. It's like, okay, like, you've played 4, like, that's 2 weekends more games that they've played. And I know it's not really that big a deal or whatever, but just me looking at it, I don't like that you can't look at record and kind of have some sort of understanding, because you can't assume that a team that's, you hear undefeated and you're like, oh, but then they've played 5 less games than a team that's has lost a game or two.
Which is fair.
So that just frustrates me. I know it's like artificial and not really that big of a deal, but it's a pet peeve.
You know, well, it is a big deal. It's a big deal to me.
Thank you.
Yeah. See, friends, you're just giving me a look right now.
We're back to Will Sam and Sam in the morning.
It's still Sam and Sam in the morning.
I don't think so.
He just waits till I intro it next time.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sam Sam in the morning.
I'm gonna cut in. I'm gonna say welcome to Will in the morning.
That's fine. I'll mute you. Here, ready? I'll show you right now.
Hey. So, Sam, I think we can move on to the next topic.
I'd love, Sam. What do you have for the next topic?
Okay, now let me talk for a hot sec, okay?
I took his mic.
Sorry, take that one right there. Go ahead.
So I just want to take for a hot second talk about Tiger Woods. I'm not happy.
Yeah,
cool. Okay, I'm not happy. I just want a disclaimer. I don't approve of what he did outside of his professional life.
I was really concerned.
But his professional life, I'm getting a little bit excited. You know, I live with, for those of you who don't know, I live with the golf team on campus here.
David Szymanski's the man.
And I've been following Tiger throughout, you know, his run here. And I'm sorry, Will, I'm trying to talk here. Okay, I want my mic back.
Guys, there's so much going on.
So at the end of 2014, he was ranked number one in the world. And that's when his decline started. 2014, he ended at 32. 2015, real big drop off, 416. And then in 2016 and 17, he started in the 650s. Tiger Woods, you know, he's come back from multiple surgeries. And this year, he started to play a little bit well. You know, he was a little shaky coming off the start. But the Honda Classic, he finished 12th. The Valspar Championship, he finished T2, which he should have won. let me tell you, he just he played it a little too. He played for the paycheck, and then at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, he placed T5th.
And really, it was what was that bad 16th hole? Is
yeah,
what I heard.
Yeah, and I want to lay a disclaimer. These past three tournaments haven't been like, you know, the beginning of the year tournaments where, you know, the quote-unquote amateurs are in there. No. The Honda Classic is when, you know, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, they all started playing. So these people are, have been playing in these three champions. I mean, Tiger Woods is amongst the, you know, young elite. Now the Masters are coming up April 5th through 8th. Tiger's ranking from the beginning of the year from at 650 has jumped to 105. How... I mean, I'd love to see Tiger win a Masters once more before he officially retires, but what do you guys think? I know, Will, you golf a little bit. I don't know about you, Sam.
Not really.
How
I think the non-golf world would hate it.
Oh, yeah. I think the golf world would love it. Because
yeah, I mean, he was so dominant for the good stretch of time. That is all. It's always nice to kind of see somebody come back and, I mean... It's different, but you could almost put it on the same lines as Sergio winning last year. Like, to see somebody who's been...
He didn't win last year, but...
Or was it 2 years ago?
No, Sergio's never won a Masters.
Yeah, he has. He won last year.
He won last year.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Really? Please look it up.
I remember.
I can't wait for you to know.
I started following him on Twitter because of it.
Dude, Sergio Garcia is the man. I've been following Sergio since... Like, my dad loves Sergio Garcia.
Did he almost win 2 years ago?
He's won, like, almost won a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Okay. Then...
Because it was they had the playoff, I think, and they had to go back to the start of 18 and play it again.
No, but I mean that, like those type of guys, like I want to see Matt Kuchar win, you know, Masters mm-hmm. or something big. But I mean, Tiger was looking good, and I think too many people still see him as, you know, the mean guy that he was. But I mean. In the golf world, he's still Tiger.
There's something I heard about on a sports radio show a while ago now, and they were talking about comparing Tiger Woods and Tom Brady.
Okay.
Because I think they're around the same age.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tiger might be a little younger. I'm not sure. But... What they couldn't understand was how Tiger has had so many surgeries and issues for, I mean, and I know it's still a rough, it's hard and it's a professional sport, so I'm not trying to take away from that, but it's golf.
Yeah.
Whereas Tom Brady is 40, almost 41 now, and still is a quarterback in the NFL. Where, you know, all of these headshots and CT and all the issues that they're starting to come out with, the fact that he, like, hasn't had any issues,
mm-hmm.
whereas, you know, golf is so different and relatively, like, not as, like, physically harmful, but Tiger is kind of, it seemed like he was, his swing was almost, like, ripping his back apart.
Yeah, and I think there's... When you're comparing two extremely different sports like golf and football, I think it's important to keep an open mind because, you know, obviously with football, you know, there's the physicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And with golf, I mean, I think what's hard for most people is they don't see the injuries that can happen are kind of in the background, because if you swing and you hit a tree root, your back is gone.
Mm.
I mean, your elbows. I mean, it's. I think you use a lot of different muscles that you wouldn't normally use on other sports, but with a sport like golf, where you can play it for 60 years, the wear and tear can really be. It's over a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So their whole thing was there. And this could just be. The fact that it was the middle of the summer and there's not really much else to talk about, but their whole thing was does anybody think Tiger took PEDs?
No.
And that's why Well, that's why he was so dominant for such a that period of time, and then kind of his body exploded after that. Like, I don't think he did.
I think it was mental than anything. I really do.
Yeah, because, I mean, with everything publicly that had happened, he just... and golf is such a mental game. I think once you lose that mental focus, then it all goes down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he hasn't won a major since 2008, so...
10 years.
Mm-hmm. I think it's time to come back.
And, I got the music going. It's time to
don't
go.
Don't you know, like, every word to this song or something like that?
I used to, yeah.
Yeah. I remember, not this past summer, but the year before, I went up to ye olde New Hampshire to visit Sam.
Great state.
Anthony,
greatest state in the country.
And we were driving, I forget where we were driving, but it was with his brothers and some of his friends, and they put this song on, and the entire car started singing it. And I think it's in, what, Romanian or something?
Italian.
Like that? Italian. And I'm just sitting there taking all of this in.
I'm jamming right now.
It was a time.
Well, on that note, I guess I should sign off because I want to sing the rest of this song. So this is Sam Anthony signing off. I dedicate this song to Sam Ferentz. Or not Sam Ferentz, Sam Ferentz's mother. She knows why. You got anything to say? Because
This is Sam Ferentz signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom. Break a leg to the Sharpsville High School musical cast. They're opening nights on Friday. Go out and see them. And go Tiger. The Masters is coming up April 5th. It's a magical time. Gosh. I'm not done yet.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is...
if I just muted him?
Sam and Sam in the Morning.
Woo, baby.
See you later, everyone.
This is Will Camilleri signing off. Go Colonials. Go Eagles. Go Flyers.
I'm sorry, this is the last show with your name on it.
Go Sports.
Sam and Sam in the Morning from now on. Sam and Sam forever.
It's spring.